You just heard World of a King, which is the brand new single from the album called The Luxury of Time from RCA Records and David Mead. David joins us now live on PMP Network. Hi, David.
Hello, Mark.
How are you today?
I'm good, 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 good.
Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Long Island, down the way.
Long Island, New York, eh?
Yes.
How'd you get by our screeners? We never book New Yorkers on this show.
I know, you and your rowdy friends.
That's right, our Red Sox, Red Sox Nation.
yeah, well, I don't know. I snuck in there somehow or another. I'm living in Manhattan now, so I'm not as bad as I sound, but I'm here. Anyway, how are you?
Now, you ended up on RCA
Hello?
Records. How'd you end up on RCA Records?
I guess my manager sent in a demo tape to the president of the label who he used to work with at Columbia Records. They came out and saw a show, and you know, that was kind of it. It sounds really easy, but it took a while to get to that spot. So
one of those overnight sensations, eh? That isn't really overnight.
Well, the funny thing was that I had been living in Nashville for a long time, trying to figure out how to do this and how to get someone who could do something to listen to the tape. And this guy, Kip Crones, my manager, just sort of showed up and knew the right people, and it all went relatively quickly from there. But there was, a good 8 or 9 years before that that it didn't seem very quick at all. So
I know you're not
how you look at it.
You're not as anywhere near as old as I am, David, but I remember RCA as the label of Elvis Presley and David Bowie and some of the huge names of rock and roll, so it's kind of a big footstep to follow.
I'm glad you remember it that way. It was kind of on a downswing there for a while, too, but it's kind of gotten it back together.
Well, Natalie Imbruglia helped out, and Natalie's CD was a multi-million seller for RCA.
That is correct.
And, of course, Dude the Young Life and Jeremy Toback, and there's like another girl. There's a whole bunch of new people over there.
Yeah, it's really cool because it's actually, even though it's considered a major label, it's actually a very small company. I mean, they only have, I want to say something like 40, probably a little bit more than that now, but at the time I signed, they only had around 40 acts on their roster as compared to, you know, for like 80 to 100 at some of the larger labels, so you get a lot of attention, so it's a good situation. It's almost like being on a major independent or something.
Now, did you have any input at all into choosing World of a King as the first single?
Yeah, I did. It was either going to be that or a song called Robert Bradley's Postcard, which is probably going to be the next single at the first of next year.
I love that song. That one's a great one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just kind of felt like maybe World of a King was a little bit more solid choice as far as like being about what the entire record was about. And another good thing about RCA is that they never, you know, they never pretended that this was going to be a quick process for this record. They've always kind of had an attitude like this is going to take a while, and we want it to take a while so we can do it right. And so we went with that single as a I felt like a slightly more well-rounded introduction, I guess, you know.
Mm. Now I know you're a songwriter, as it's evidenced obviously on the CD. First of all, when did you learn music? Did you learn from your parents? Did you take lessons? And when did you first write your first song?
Yeah, I did. I did really learn from my mom. Was actually the musical one. My dad wasn't as much. It was just always something that was kind of around. You know, we did. I was always in a choir or in a musical or something along those lines. And I think she sort of taught me my first guitar chords too. I'm pretty sure I wrote my first song when I was 12, and it was very bad. Some very, very soupy.
And so that was your first one. Did you ever play that first song? Do you even remember it?
Vaguely. But I hope I never played it, because for what I remember is it's like Christopher Cross light or something. It's pretty embarrassing.
That must be real light if it's Christopher Cross light.
Yeah.
And whatever happened to him anyway?
Man, that's a good question.
Yeah, here's a guy that had this major, major album and then disappeared from the face of the earth.
Maybe he just got on that boat and kept going.
That's good, though, I think.
Failing took him away.
We're talking to David Mead. One of the things I thought was interesting reading your bio was that after you signed with RCA, you actually went to France to some kind of songwriting retreat?
Yeah, a guy named Miles Copeland, who was the manager of the Police and I guess still manages Sting, has a castle in the southwest of France that he has this songwriter's retreat at. I think he has two every year. So basically you go there with like 20 to 30 other songwriters and you're paired off in groups of three every day. So they don't tell you who you're going to be with. You just go into a room and write a song with two other people and then you do a little demo of it that day. But it's great. I mean, it's really beautiful out there. They have a chef and a seemingly limitless wine cellar. So it's a lot of fun.
Now, did you pair up with anybody that you felt comfortable enough to work with after that?
Yeah. There was a guy named Greg Wells there who's kind of an up-and-coming producer. Let's see. He did the last Crash Test Dummies record. He's just a really inventive guy. There were a lot of people. Well, I would say there were probably about a third of the people who were kind of like me, you know, just pretty much unknown, new kind of, writers. And then there were some more of like very upper echelon professional songwriters, guys like Jim Vallance, who writes a lot with Mutt Lange and Bryan Adams. And then there were just, you know, there were some like bona fide rock stars, like Bon Jovi was there. Timothy B. Smith, or Schmidt from the Eagles, was there. So it was a really cool mix. A couple of the Go-Go's were there, Charlotte and Jane.
Ooh. Did you get to work with any of those other folks, the famous people?
Yeah, I got to write with Charlotte and Jane. I wrote with Dominic Miller from Sting's band. It was a really good experience. I think probably the biggest thing that I came away with. You show up and you feel like such a peon, and kind of by the end of the week you sort of, for better or for worse, and usually for the better, feel like these people have kind of accepted you as a peer. You know, or at least that was my experience with it. So it's a great confidence booster that way.
Gee, you almost sound like you're calling for Manhattan with that background noise.
Ben, I'm sorry. I went outside because it was noisy in my room, and I'm in Woburn.
Well, that's too. You have my sympathies.
Yeah, thank you.
David Mead is with us. The album is called The Luxury of Time. It's from RCA, and you have some real heavyweights on this thing playing with you. Who put this whole band together?
Everybody who's like a heavyweight probably could be attributed to Peter Collins, who's, a real veteran kind of producer. He's done everything from like, Alice Cooper to, Jewel. So he knows a lot of people. He's one of those guys that has the amazing black book, like, oh, okay, you want to call Flea? I know Flea. Let's call Flea. Flea didn't play on it, but I just thought it was funny. Peter being a small Englishman, he was friends with Flea. But I guess he just commands a certain level of respect for the work that he's done. So
you get one of the best saxophonists in the business there, Jim Horn, on the CD.
Yeah, that was a treat, man. That guy was great.
He's incredible.
He was in and out so fast that. We didn't really get a chance to hang out a whole lot, but I certainly enjoyed listening and humming the parts down. We didn't even have to write them out. He just kind of did them really fast.
And the other interesting person on the CD, I mean, you have a lot of great people on there, is a 75-year-old guy who is more known for his country playing, Caton Roberts, who I guess played the lap steel player for you.
Exactly. Yeah. That was a cool session. He is old, and he's sort of at the point where, he's kind of gone into that that thing where he sort of listens selectively, so you're not really sure if he's very concerned about what you're saying to him or not. But he came in, he brought his little wife with him. She sat in the control booth, and he would just kind of listen to the song and just roll through it, and we just record it six times and then just sort of piecemeal it together. But it was pretty amazing to see people like that have just such a sort of like effortless control of their instrument,
Now, you're in Boston. You mentioned it actually in Woburn, which is a former toxic waste area. But you're going to be playing a concert around here, right?
Yes.
Where are you going to be?
We're playing at the Other Side Cafe.
And where's that?
That is, oh boy, now you're gonna hurt me.
I have no idea where
it is. I'm not as familiar. I think it's on Newbury. Is that? Is
oh,
that
it's,
a,
in, it's in Boston.
Yeah, it's in Boston. It's
all right.
It
must be a
major thoroughfare.
Yeah, it must be a Newbury Street then, because I don't go there. That's they don't let me in. It's a very high class area.
Oh.
So they won't let me. They won't let me in.
Can't sell yourself short like that.
Well, David, I'm just telling you that you know the idea. They say, oh, you're Mark Snyder. Okay, you'll have to turn around now. That's what happens.
It is a very interesting title. I didn't know if it was like That's Life with Mark Snyder or That's Life with Mark Snyder.
Yeah, but that's really A Miserable Life with Mark Snyder. That's the name of the show. Actually, it's a very lovely life, but I get to talk to people like David Mead every day, which is kind of fun.
Too much.
Now, the CD is good. I like it a lot. And you know what? You know, I got to tell you, my only suggestion, and you probably think I'm a moron here, but you know the kind of wild riffs at the beginning of some of the songs where you kind of have distortion-type sound?
I could imagine. Yeah,
I don't know what instrument it is. It's probably guitar wailing around, but I just thought that was kind of obscuring the great quality of the songs, the music, and the lyrics. It wasn't necessary. In my view, unless you're trying to get the 18-year-olds hooked on it as well,
sure.
But I just thought that wasn't even needed. The songs were so strong on their own, and the lyrics and the voice that you don't need that wild stuff. Take it from me, an old man.
I take it as a high compliment then.
Yeah, of course. I'm an adult contemporary kind of guy now, not a rock and roll guy. So you got to watch out for me. At least my age group, anyway.
Let's face it. It's. I guess in a lot of ways, if a song is good, you can just do it with a voice and a guitar, a voice and piano, and I don't know. Making a record is a crazy thing.
I think this Robert Bradley's postcard is actually going to be your strongest tune on the CD.
Good. So you think that's a good choice for the single?
I do.
Great.
I like it a lot.
Thanks, man. I'm looking forward to see how it does, too.
You know what the importance of it is, David? It's the first cut. So you want to have a real strong cut in the first cut on the CD anyway.
Definitely.
So
definitely.
I kind of lead you in. People like me, I get about 60 CDs a week,
mm-hmm.
and I only get a chance to kind of listen for 10 seconds to each first couple tracks.
Yeah,
that's
I can
about
imagine.
It. If I don't like it, that's it.
It does.
So I assume that it's like that for many programmers around the country. So it's good to have a strong tune at the beginning like you do.
Well, it's nice to know I made the litmus test. Thanks.
The CD is called The Luxury of Time, which we don't have right now. David Mead is my guest, and again, you can see him at Newbury Street at, what is the place called?
The Other Side Cafe.
And is that tonight or tomorrow night?
That is tonight. Tomorrow night, we're also playing at a place called Curious Liquids.
Curious Liquids.
I don't know the address of that, unfortunately. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm told it's close to Emerson.
Oh, okay. So that's in Boston. I would hate to be anywhere near a place called Curious Liquids myself, but that's just me. What about in the future coming up in the next couple of weeks, because this is going on the Internet and people from all over the country are listening to it?
We're actually playing our first band show. These coffee house shows are just myself and my bass player, because we're kind of in the middle of a promotional tour right now. But we're playing on November the 11th at a club called The Big Easy, which I thought was supposed to be really cool. We're playing with another RCA act. Her name is Danielle Brisbois.
Oh, she's, of course, from Archie Bunker's place.
Wow, I see. Everyone knew this except me. I found that out today and realized that I actually had a little bit of a crush on her back in the day.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I'm looking forward to meeting her.
She's a cutie. So you're going to be at The Big Easy. Where is The Big Easy?
Once again, the address escapes me. I know it's in the Boston area.
That is in Boston as well, okay. Are you going to be outside
the downtown immediate area.
All right. Are you going to be outside Boston anytime soon? Because we have lots of people listening all over the country.
Well, we're going all over the place right now, Mark. I mean, we're
where are you heading to? Tell me some cities.
From here, we're going out to L.A., and we'll be playing at a place called the Key Club out there on the 26th.
LA's fine, David, but it ain't home,
Oh, yeah, I agree. I didn't know how far you wanted me to... you're talking about in the general, like...
No. Now, see, you're too young, David. I said LA's fine, but it ain't home. That's the words to a Neil Diamond song from the late 60s.
I am too damn young for that.
Yes, you are. I'm throwing out these references that are too old. It's kind of tough when you get old, David. See, don't do this with people that are younger than you. Give them references to stuff that they know. You know?
I should know more than I do. I realize.
No, it's okay. But you remember the song? LA's fine, the sun shines most of the time. But that the feeling is laid back. I guess you don't remember it.
I don't remember it. I could certainly picture Neil Diamond singing it, though.
I'm sure you could. And whatever happened to him, too? I guess he does Vegas. Anyway, David Mead, don't forget, the big show is November 11th at the Big Easy. That's a big place in Boston. And he'll be all around. Look at your... do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's www.davidmead.com.
www.davidmead.com on the web. And that's David Mead, M-E-A-D,
that's
for all you
correct.
Folks who are into spelling correctly on the web. Thank you so much for coming on, David, and I look forward to meeting you one of these days.
Indeed, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
All right, you too, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's David Mead here on That's Live with Mark Snyder, sponsored by Chinatown in Stoughton and Brockton, and Skinnis Buick in West Bridgewater. And Skinnis Escusa, of course.